Let's now turn in our Bibles to John chapter 1 for our text, our reading from John chapter 1. We're going to read the first 13 verses. If you were with us as a congregation last week, you'll remember that we read these same verses and we saw the rejection of Jesus Christ, how the world was made by him, through him, and the world did not know him. And then Christ came to his own, but his own did not receive him. Today we are going to continue by seeing that some did receive him. So John chapter 1, the first 13 verses, that's page 1027 in our pew Bibles. John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. And here begins our text. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. And that's as far as reading in John chapter 1. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we saw last week, when Christ came to earth, there was a varied response. Some did not accept him. They did not receive him. They did not embrace him. They did not believe in his name. But today we are going to see not everyone rejected the Christ child. There were some who did, in fact, receive, embrace, and believe in him. But this twofold response to Jesus Christ continues today, doesn't it? There are some who still reject, who fight, who rage against Christ even to this day. This past week, I saw a news article. There was a family who wanted to celebrate the Christmas season, had a nativity scene, and above the nativity scene had the name Jesus. And this was extremely offensive to people who lived in the community, and they had a whole petition to try to force this family to remove the name Jesus from the nativity scene. There are people who still to this day reject, who hate, who rage against the Christ, but not all, not all. Yes, it is true, some were ignorant. Even though Jesus Christ made the world, it was through Christ that everything came into being. Our very breath, our very substance, the fabric of our being, the fact that we live is due to Jesus Christ. Yet some are ignorant of him, and others who hear, who should know better, still reject him to this day, but not all. Some do. Some did, and some today still do, embrace the Christ child. So today we see this theme. Jesus Christ gives the gift of adoption to all those who embrace him. Although it is true that there was no room for Christ in the inn, there was still a reception of Christ, and arms would still embrace him as they do today. We start then by looking at the identity of those who embraced the Christ child. Who exactly in the story of the Nativity throughout history embraces this blessed child? Well, when we look at the story of the Nativity, the arrival of Jesus Christ, it started already back with Mary when the angel Gabriel came to Mary to tell Mary that she would have a child. How did Mary respond? Did she laugh? Remember, that was the response of Sarah, right? That's impossible. Was hers a laugh of unbelief? No, Mary embraced it. Mary said, "May it be to me as you have said. I am the Lord's servant." Mary embraced the promise of the coming child. Although not understanding how it could be, she still embraced the hope of the coming Messiah. And then when Mary went to visit Elizabeth, you remember that story, children, don't you? Elizabeth was 6 or 7 months along. By this time, she had a little baby John growing in her womb. And Mary walks into the room, and as soon as Elizabeth hears the voice of her cousin, little John in the womb leaps for joy. At the very arrival of the Virgin Mary, the bearer of Jesus Christ, John leaps for joy. And then Elizabeth says those blessed words, "Why has it been granted to me that the mother of my Lord should visit me?" And we all know the story of the shepherds, don't we? A little bit earlier on in Luke chapter 2. There were shepherds, you know, our children memorize this. So there were shepherds living out in the field nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Then suddenly, an angel messenger comes and tells the fact that a Savior has been born, who is Christ the Lord. And after the angel has been joined by a company of heavenly hosts, saying praise to God, giving glory to God in the highest, the angels leave and the shepherds say, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that we have heard." And then they, after meeting and seeing Jesus Christ, they go throughout the whole city, throughout the area, returning to their flocks eventually, praising and glorifying God for all that they had seen and heard. Jesus was embraced. The promise. And the shepherds didn't balk. They didn't stumble at the fact that the promised Messiah came in the form of this lowly babe. They praised God for the promised deliverance that would come by way of this chosen child. But not only do we see the embrace by the shepherds, we read a few minutes ago from Luke chapter 2, that after the time of purification, the naming of Jesus, they brought this little babe Jesus to the temple to perform according to the Old Testament law, and in comes Simeon. We don't know how old Simeon was, but we know that he was filled with the Holy Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit had said to him, "You will not die until you have seen the Lord Christ, until you have seen the salvation that has been promised." And Simeon, upon seeing this babe Jesus Christ, takes Jesus in his arms, embracing the Christ child, says, "Now I have seen the salvation prepared in the presence of the people. This child will be a light to the Gentiles and the glory of the people of Israel." And as soon as Simeon is done praising God and embracing this child, we have Anna, this aged prophetess, 84 years old, who sees the redemption of Israel, what she has been hoping and waiting for, sees it in this child, and then she tells everyone who has been coming to the temple, everyone who is waiting for the redemption of Israel, little aged Anna tells them all that the child of the promise has come. So you can see, although throughout the ministry of Jesus Christ, there was this ever-present rejection and rebellion, there are still those who did receive him, who embraced him, who saw, who recognized the true identity. The promised child that the Old Testament saints have been longing for, the day of salvation. There is a faithful remnant that sees it and rejoiced. Indeed, Abraham himself desired this child. The prophets saw this child, but from afar. Even Job, and many people think that Job was one of the first books written in the Old Testament. Job said this, "I know that my Redeemer lives, and he will one day stand upon this earth." Even Job looked through the lens of prophecy thousands of years down the road at the coming of the Christ child, and he was filled with a comfort. This truth comforted Job. Remember, we know the story of Job. Job lost everything. And the fact that Christ was coming filled him with a hope of a future deliverance of a salvation of a Savior that was to be born. There were some in Israel who longed for the Emmanuel, and their hope was not lost. Although it is true, as Romans says, not all Israel is of Israel, it is also equally true there are some in Israel who are truly an Israelite, a child of Abraham by faith. But not only do we see this among the Jewish people, we even see it among the Gentiles, don't we? Matthew chapter 2, that's the story of the wise men. Here we have some wise men. We don't know how many, and we don't know how they traveled there. But we do know that they came bearing gold, frankincense, and myrrh, coming to visit this Christ child. Maybe Christ was somewhere around 2 years old at this point. We don't know the exact age. But Jesus was at this point living in a house in Bethlehem with his parents. They traveled from the east. They followed the star, going westward, following yonder star, find the house where Mary and Joseph were staying, seeing the King of the Jews in the form of this little toddler present their gifts, worship, and glorify God. They find their heart's desire, Jesu, Christ the Lord. In fact, when we think of the Christmas story, the high points that most of us tend to dwell on, tend to remember and rejoice in, you know, we think of the shepherds and the wise men and Simeon and Anna, those most beloved stories that we as Christians hold dear, all are focused around the embrace of the Christ. After seeing the rejection last week, how joyful we are that some could see the promised Messiah in this child, and they embraced the light. Now, what joined these people together? What common attitude? What was the uniting theme that these all had? Well, here we're going to turn back to John chapter 1. We're going to look at how John is going to unfold this concept. What does it mean? If last week we looked at the rejection of Christ, this week, what is the acceptance or the embrace of Christ? Well, as John 1 continues, this is on verse 12. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. To those who received him. The reception here is bringing to mind this idea of taking the Christ child in your arms, like Simeon did. To embrace him, to love him, to enfold him. Psalm 73 says this, "There is nothing on earth that I desire more than you." To receive Christ, to embrace him, means that he is the apple of your eye. Now, although it is true that we cannot embrace Christ with these physical hands, we can embrace him with our hearts of faith, holding this child as the object of our hope, looking to him, trusting in him, longing for him, seeing him as the hope of the nations and the joy of our hearts. To associate with him, to regard him as our own, and to call him our blessed one. Receiving Christ, embracing him. And we remember, as Hebrews 2 says, Christ is not ashamed to call us brothers. Christ associate. What Christ was doing when he came to earth was associating with the lowly. He was made one of us. And yet Christ is not ashamed to call us brothers, not ashamed to associate with us, Hebrews 2 says. So may we, seeing his humiliation, never be ashamed of associating with him. If we recognize and remember all that he has done for us and for our salvation, how he showed us such love, may we never be embarrassed of who he is, to act like we don't know him or to pretend that he is not who he says he is. No, rather, let us, congregation, always be very vocal, very upfront about who he is and who we are as his people. Praising God. Isn't that what the shepherds did? Praising God and glorifying him for all that we have seen and heard. If this is how the Old Testament saints responded to seeing a little baby, I mean, Jesus hadn't even gone to the cross yet. And here we are after his humiliation, his execution, his resurrection and ascension. How much more shouldn't we glorify and praise God when we look back and we consider the great things that he has done? But not only do we associate with him and embrace him, verse 12 continues by saying we need to believe in his name, to all who believe in his name. To believe in his name is a heartfelt dependence, a confidence, a relying on him. That he is the joy of our hearts, that we are committed to him and place our confidence in him. He is the desire of every longing heart. By his name are we saved. Although some did not want him, some did not embrace him, some did. May we join our hearts and voices with the shepherd and the wise men, with beloved Simeon and Anna, worshiping and praising God. These Old Testament saints were led by the Holy Spirit to embrace him, to confess him, and to believe in him, although they had to look years down the road. Not all shunned the light. May we, as we are led by the Holy Spirit, worship and glorify this same Christ child for the beloved gift of our salvation. Well, now that we've looked at the receiving and embracing and believing in his name, John 1 continues by outlining the benefits connected to this reception and belief. As verse 12 concludes, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Building upon the acknowledgement, the reception, the embrace, and the belief in Jesus Christ, John continues by unfolding the benefits connected to the fact that we acknowledge him as he is. Starts by saying that if you believe in the child, you are made a child. Do you see the connection? If you believe in the child, you are made a child. If you embrace the son, you are given a father. To embrace the son means that the father embraces you. But notice that this is a gift given. It is Jesus who gives this right. He gives the right. Becoming a child of God, is a supernatural work of Jesus Christ. It is one that Christ, the blessed child, performs for us. It is his authority and his work, his purchasing our adoption, if you will. Ephesians 1 says this, "We are predestined for adoption through Jesus Christ, according to his purpose and will." He, Jesus Christ, credits us with a family, giving us a bestowed sonship. Once we were orphans, once we were outcasts, once we were aliens and strangers, but he, being Jesus, gives us the right to become children. Children of our Heavenly Father. By the Holy Spirit, this is John 3 continues by opening this concept up of conversion, being born again. By the Holy Spirit, we are born into a spiritual family, not born of the blood, of the old way, but of the water and the Spirit, the way that is above. When the Father embraces you, adopts you, you are now the recipient of light and life through Jesus Christ. And in order to emphasize the fact that adoption is a gift of grace, verse 13 continues to press the point by saying it is not of blood. Not those who are born of natural descent. And we think of the great conflict that happened during Jesus' ministry. is those who were born of the natural descent. They said, we are the sons of Abraham. We have the heritage. We have the biological lineage. We are God's children because Abraham is our physical father. We can trace our genealogies back to Abraham, the first father of faith. But Christ says, I can raise up children for Abraham from these rocks. Your physical descent does not make you a child of God. Your genetic makeup does not secure a place in God's presence. Being of the correct branch in a family tree does not mean that you are a child of the Heavenly Father. No, it is a gift of grace for those who are united to Christ in faith. So not only is it not a natural descent, a physical genealogy that determines sonship, being a child of God, it is also, secondly, not human decision or a husband's will. It is not an act of a decision, of a merit, of an effort. It is not man's desire, will, or ability. It is not something which we can perform in our own rights and strength, but it is a gift of grace. So to summarize this point, how we become a child of God, how we are changed from the darkness to the light, from the children of Satan, of our father, the devil, to having God as our Father and a child of our Heavenly Father, the way that this change happens is by the sovereign grace and work of our Almighty God, a sovereign gift and a profound privilege. Although God may use godly parents and faithful preaching, we cannot change our own hearts, nor can we change the hearts of our children. Jesus Christ gives this right by his power and authority. Now this fact, the fact that we are made children of God, means two things. And here's our application. There are two chief benefits that we have being a child of God. The first benefit is that we have the rights of children. We have the very same rights to the presence of the Father as Jesus himself has. We are called children, reckoned children, considered children, now living in the light, receiving life as a part of his family. We know that if God has already given us Jesus Christ, his Son, if he has already made us his children, will he not give us everything that we need for body and soul? Christmas is about celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ, who is the first only begotten Son. And by the work of the only begotten Son, we have the adopted sonship, meaning that we can approach our Father through Jesus Christ with the confidence of children, knowing that our prayers will surely be heard and answered because we are, in fact, his children. The great assurance and comfort, the confidence, even boldness in our prayers, because he is our Father and we are his children. We know, being our Heavenly Father, he will surely provide for us because his arm is not short, his hand is not weak. Although our earthly fathers may try to do us good, our Heavenly Father will certainly work all things for our good because he is heavenly and he is our Father. We cry out, Abba Father, by the Spirit, because that's what we are, his children. Lord's Day 46, that we're going to consider that in a few weeks, that's in the Lord's Prayer. We begin our prayers by calling upon our Heavenly Father to kindle in us that childlike awe and trust which is necessary from children, because God will not refuse to give us whatever we need. But there is another aspect. So we start, the first application, if you will, is when we are a child of God, when we are made children of God by Jesus Christ, we can have this calmness, the assurance, this boldness in prayer. It calms our fears because we are children of God. But there is a second aspect. And if you look in the back in this verse, you will see that verse 12 says he gives the right to all who receive him, verse 12 says, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. This is an active word speaking of a process. Becoming, he gives the right to be becoming a child of God. So being a child of God is not simply a status, a one-time declaration, which is true. It is also a process to which we are called and filled by Christ's Spirit, enabled to become children. 1 John 3 builds upon this. 1 John 3, verse 2. We are God's children, and we are like him when we will see him. That's our hope. Therefore, we purify ourselves. The other aspect is that since we are children of God, we will desire, we will long to act like children of God. And Christ has given us his Spirit to ensure that we act more like children of God. The Holy Spirit transforms us throughout our lives so that we begin to live and move and breathe in Christ, transformed to be like the perfect Son. This also is a blessed privilege. Sanctification is one of the necessary marks of God's people because we are his children and we are becoming more like Christ, the perfect child. He gives us this right. He gives us the privilege of becoming more like him. So the second application is a call to holiness. Christ not only purchased our sonship, purchased our adoption, he also calls and by his Spirit enables us to live like children of God today. That's the calling. To conclude, Jesus Christ gives this full gift of adoption, and the way that we are united to Christ is faith. He makes us children of God. What a privilege. What a blessing. We are his children. Just like Jesus Christ, we are now God's sons and daughters. And we are becoming more and more like Christ every day. To those who receive him, to those who believe in his name, this is what Jesus gives. I close with the words of Matthew chapter 10. Everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies him being Jesus before men, Jesus will also deny before his Father in heaven. May these warning words stir our hearts to join our voices with the voice of the shepherds, to join our hearts' praise with the wise men, and our hearts of faith with the saints that have gone before. Come and worship. Kneel before Christ the King. Receive and embrace this wonderful Savior whose birth we celebrate tomorrow morn. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege we have of by your Spirit being enabled to embrace and believe in Jesus Christ. We thank you that you loved us so much that you sent Jesus, and that Jesus loved us so much that he laid down his life for us. We thank you that we are given the right to become children, that by your Spirit, that is what we are. May we, O Lord, follow the faithful example of the wise men and the shepherds of Simeon and Anna, indeed of Mary and Elizabeth and John, of praising and worshiping Christ, our perfect and everlasting King. Amen.